This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, celebrating a Dodgers championship as they did close out a bizarre baseball season last night, taking down the Rays in 6 games. We'll cover the Dodgers angle from it right now. Also touch on Justin Turner contracting COVID, finding out that he tested positive during the game, and then clearly the crazy decision, which is normal now in the year of 2020, to pull a starter, even though that starter was cruising. We'll head out to the hotline right now and welcome in a man that 25 years ago not only won a World Series championship, but also a World Series MVP in a Game 6 25 years ago. 8 innings pitched, 1 hit, and 8 strikeouts. And after seeing last night, I don't even know if he was pitching in today's game, if he would have even got to 8 innings in 2 games of a World Series. And that is the Hall of Fame pitcher, Tom Glavine, kind enough to give us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Tom, you ever think about that? Probably if you were pitching in today's game, you may still be a World Series champion, but they don't let you go 8 innings in that Game 6. And you're not a World Series MVP.
Yeah, I think there are a few times where I've watched some playoff games, and I think I might have had a fight with my manager on the mound at that given moment. But, that's the way the game is nowadays. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think a lot of people don't necessarily agree with it. But, to quote a too often used phrase, it is what it is. I think players in today's game have come to, I guess, expect it. I don't know if they necessarily like it either, but it's certainly become a much more expected and accepted part of the game.
Not only is it frustrating, Tom, that they pulled Blake Snell when he was dealing, and they pull him after 82 pitches. He goes 5 1/3, and he only allowed his 2nd hit of the game. But basically, that decision cost them the game, because even Mookie Betts said it afterwards. It gave us some hope. Like, the Rays made that decision. Oh, we don't want to see Snell go 3 times around in the order up against Betts, up against Seager. The Dodgers were doing cartwheels when they made that decision to give Snell the hook.
Now, look, I mean, it's a different game, right? And I struggle with it. And it's because I hear that all the time, to where, well, a guy can't go through the lineup for the 3rd time, or a guy can't get a hitter out 3 times the same way in a game. Well, why can't you? If you're making your pitches, then why can't you get guys out? And I think that's where too often the eye test and the gut test gets pushed aside for what has become the quote-unquote book in today's game, which is analytics. You know, when I played, obviously, a manager managed the game based on his eye test and on his gut. And he was going to let things on the field dictate moves that he was going to make, particularly when it came to his pitchers. And when he managed by the quote-unquote book, it was, okay, late in the game, and here comes a left-handed hitter. This is a good spot to bring in my left-handed specialty guy. Or, hey, my starter's given me 7. Now I'm going to turn it over to the setup guy, and then ultimately the closer. Runner on 2nd, nobody out. I'm going to play by the book. We're going to bunt that guy over. We're going to play for a run. Those were the things that were dictated by that so-called book. In today's game, the book has become analytics. And I think because of analytics, for the most part, it takes it answers the question in so many instances for managers as to why they made a move. And I think every once in a while it's going to backfire, and you can argue that last night it backfired. And look, it's hard to argue too much with what Kevin Cash did this year and what he's done for the last couple of years, quite frankly. He's done a phenomenal job with that team in a limited budget, having to be creative. You know, last year, probably the best team in baseball that nobody knew about, you know, having to use an opener and do all the things that he had to do based on roster constriction. So it's hard to argue with too much that he's done. Again, I don't know the ins and outs of last night and what was going on with Snell. Maybe he had something going on. Maybe he didn't. But if the analytical answer was, I didn't want him to go through the lineup again, well, why not? You know, the way he was throwing the ball, there was no reason not to. And I think more times than not, that what ends up happening is exactly what Mookie Betts said, which was, you have a team on the other side that knows this guy is dealing. They're not getting much going on offensively. And now all of a sudden you take him out of the game. I don't care who they bring through that bullpen door. That team on the other side who has got nothing going on offensively against that guy that they just took out is saying, thank you. Anybody's better than the guy that's on the mound right now. And there is a psychological lift last night or sometimes. And I think you saw it last night.
The Hall of Fame pitcher Tom Glavine here with us, the 1995 World Series MVP on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I get why people stick to the analytics in the regular season. Why don't you think, because it's not just Cash, let's be real, it's the front office calling the shots too. Why doesn't the front office and Cash have a little bit more of an open mind? I know the analytics got them to the World Series, but that's an elimination game last night. Like, it's mind-boggling to me how managers and front offices, they keep living and dying by the analytics, and they're not at all willing to trust their gut at all, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, it's one of those things in the game today that, you know, I don't want to sound like a curmudgeon-y, fuddy-duddy, you know, old-timer guy. But
you're right.
But it's one of the things in today's game that I think a lot of people struggle with because, you know, again, back in my day and really not too far long ago, you would have put yourself in a position to say, you know what, this is an elimination game. My horse is on the mound. He's dealing, and I'm going to ride this thing with him as long as I can. I'm going to win or lose with my horse. And that doesn't seem to happen anymore, you know, or at least it doesn't happen a lot. And it's unfortunate because I do think, I'm not one of these guys that says there's not a place for analytics in the game. Information is a good thing. But I think where analytics become a problem is when you go all in on the analytics. People, I think, sometimes would lead you to believe with the analytics that there's no that everything's black and white. The numbers say what they say, and here's what's going to happen. Well, guess what? That's not how baseball works. You know, baseball is not black and white. There's a lot of gray area in between. And, you know, the problem with going to the bullpen as much as teams go to the bullpen now, the more you open that door, the more chance somebody's coming out of that door that's not going to be on their game. And it becomes a difficult situation at times. And look, I just feel like with the analytics of the game, I think too often that becomes the end-all, be-all. And obviously last night was a great example of that where you can argue about it. And look, I'm sure had Kevin Cash left Snell in the game, and it turned out the same way, there would be people today arguing, why didn't you take him out? He was trying to flip the lineup for the third time, and the numbers say this and the numbers say that. Well, you know what? It's, you know, there's no foolproof answer, but I would be of the mindset, if I'm in an elimination game and my horse is on the mound and my horse is dealing, I'm gonna ride my horse as long as I can.
Tom Glavine, I know you said you would have had some words with your manager. What would that conversation be like if you were in the fifth inning, you were dealing, only allowed one hit, and Bobby Cox came out in a World Series game and said to you, hey, champ, we're going to pull you out of this one. What would you have said to Bobby?
I mean, in a polite way, it probably would have been, what the hell are we doing? You know, I mean, again, it's just that's the stuff, again, that drives me crazy. You know, I mean, and I think that too – I think that when I look at the game today, when I hear people say, well, you know, the starting pitcher can't flip a lineup for the third time, or a pitcher can't do this.
Why not?
My next question is, why not? Why can't you? You know, and I know that a lot of these analytics and a lot of these shifts and all this stuff that's going on in the game today is to try to defend pitchers' inadequacies in terms of being able to locate. Listen, we can watch enough games and know that the pitchers, most of the pitchers today, not the elite guys, most of the pitchers today cannot locate their fastball. So you're defending against a mistake 90% of the time with these shifts, because teams are saying, listen, our guy's going to throw a fastball down the middle at some point in time. When he does, here's where these guys are likely to hit the ball, and that's why you have all these shifts in the game today. And it's crazy, because I see that, and I hear, you know, velocity, velocity, velocity. We got to have guys who throw hard, yet a lot of these guys who throw hard are throwing 60% breaking balls. Well, if you're throwing 60% breaking balls, who cares how hard you throw, because you're not using it? You know, and it's all because of the location inadequacies of pitchers. But how much is being done to teach these guys to locate? How much is being done to groom these guys in the minor leagues, or even when they get to the big leagues, to flip a lineup three times? You know, I think it's just become too easy to say, well, you can't do that, and that's the end of the story. And I think for the most part, you know, these guys who are pitching in today's game, you know, through no fault of their own, they buy into it. And it's because they're not given the opportunity to learn how to do it. Like, I would say, if somebody said to me, you can't flip a lineup for the first time, for the third time, I'd say, well, why can't I? How do I do that? How do I get better? How do I get to a point where I can do that? Because there are clearly guys in the game that can do it. You look at Jake DeGrom and you know, Justin Verlander and guys like that. Well, if they can do it, why can't more guys do it? And I just think the development side of it has taken a backseat to the analytics side of it, because it's just easier to run the next guy out of the bullpen who's throwing 95 miles an hour.
It's a great point. The Hall of Fame lefty Tom Glavine here with us, the 1995 World Series MVP, 25th anniversary to the day of winning that championship. I'll take you back to that night. 8 innings pitched, a hit, 8 strikeouts. You had 109 pitches. Was there part of you that wanted to go out for that ninth? Were you annoyed that you didn't get to go out for that ninth?
No, I mean, obviously there's a part of you that wants to, but I think, you know, it was my call to come out of the game. You know, that was one of the great things of the relationship that we had with Bobby, that, you know, Bobby, if Bobby asked us how we were doing, he expected an honest answer. And, you know, I had kind of cruised along in that game. We had a pretty lengthy offensive side of the seventh inning, even though we didn't score. And when I went out for the eighth inning and threw my warm-up pitches, it was the first time all night where I went out and threw those warm-up pitches, and it was kind of like, oh, I wasn't quite as loose and easy, you know, carefree, easy going with those warm-up pitches like I was previously. And then when you look back at that game, I got away with a couple mistakes that inning. That was really the first inning the whole game where I started to elevate the ball, and I got away with some mistakes, particularly a fly ball that Tomei hit to deep left center field that Marquise caught on the warning track that very easily could have gone out. So I knew I got a little bit lucky that inning. And you know, I just felt like, look, as much as I would love to go out there and be the guy that's on the mound, I just kind of got through an inning that maybe I was more lucky than I was good. And we had a guy in Mark Wohlers coming out of our bullpen that had a phenomenal year that year. It was, to me, it was the right thing to do, as much as I would have loved to have been out there.
Tom Glavine, you're in the Hall of Fame. You're one of the all-time greats. One day, Clayton Kershaw is going to join you in Cooperstown. For him to finally get that World Series championship, I know he didn't pitch last night, but had 2 wins in this series. To see the elation of him running out of the pen to celebrate with his teammates, what were you feeling last night?
Look, I mean, you like stories like that, right? I mean, here's a guy, and I can empathize with him to a certain extent. He's had a great career. And the naysayers always want to focus on what he has or has not done in the postseason. You know, the postseason is a different animal. And, you know, you can go out there in the postseason and pitch well and not get the results of that. And then, you know, people focus so much on, oh, what's his record and why doesn't he do well in the postseason? Well, the postseason is hard. I mean, it's hard for everybody. But to me, when you look at his body of work over the course of the regular season and the dominance that he's shown over the course of the regular season in his career, he's a hell of a pitcher. So knowing that, again, I'm sure some of the noise that he hears as it relates to his postseason career, whether it's lived up to people's expectations or not, and then quite honestly been on a team for the last couple of years that has come up short, I know that feeling. I know what that's like to be close for a few years in a row and come up short and then ultimately be able to taste that prize. I mean, that's a great feeling, and it's something that's really hard to explain. So, you know, for a guy like him, yeah, you know, what he's meant to the game, the career that he's had, and to come up short like he has, to be able to finally experience that's a great thing. And like I said, I can relate to that.
Now, in the eighth inning, right before the start of the eighth inning, Tom Glavine, everyone knows by now the positive test result came back for Justin Turner, and we found that out after the game when he got pulled. Everyone was raising an eyebrow what it could be, and people thought there was an injury. And then after the game, Kevin Burkhardt comes on Fox and tells us that he tested positive for COVID-19, and then in the celebration, he went out there and celebrated with his teammates. How'd you react to all that in the moment last night?
You know, I mean, I again, it's one of those things. You put yourself in that in his position, right? Look, I was saying quietly behind the scenes to, you know, people that I work with, in broadcasting and whatever. And I know this is probably not a popular opinion, but, you know, I felt like once you get to the NLCS, why are we even testing anymore anyway? What difference does it make? You know, if you get a guy that tests positive, he's maybe going to be sick for a couple of days. You've got those guys in that clubhouse that are in a fairly quarantined environment to begin with. You know, I just kind of felt like, why do it at this stage of the game? Why do we want to have a guy sit out for a week or have a couple of guys sit out for a week? Chances are they're going to be sick. They're going to be sick for a couple of days and they're going to be done with it. And I know that may not be a popular opinion, but you know what? That was my opinion. And I've seen it. I've seen it with, you know, people around me that have gotten sick and how they've recovered. But anyway, you know, you put yourself in Justin Turner's place. You know, again, another guy who's come up short for a number of years now. He is now in a situation where he's going to be on the team that wins the World Series. And as much as everybody outside looking at it can say, well, that was irresponsible and he should have, you know, waited and maybe waited for his next opportunity, guess what? He may never get another opportunity. And to work as hard as you do as a player to get to that stage where you're the last team standing, you can't make people on the outside understand what that's like. I don't know what it was like for these guys to go through this season. And for all the talk you hear about people wanting to put an asterisk next to this season because it was only 60 games. I know from talking to people that the mental stress this year is probably every bit, if not more, than what you would have had in a 162 game schedule, because you don't know from one day to the next when you walk into that clubhouse how many guys are going to be active, how many games you might have to postpone because guys are sick. So the stress of all that is off the chart. Now, again, you get to the point where you've won this thing. I don't blame Justin Turner one bit for being out there. Could he maybe arguably been a little bit more responsible? Probably. But at the same time, I don't blame him for being out there, and I think people – who are trying to say that he shouldn't even have been out there, I don't think you understand what goes through the work that this has to be put in to get to that stage. And quite honestly, he may never have that opportunity again.
Just to circle back on what you said earlier, Tom Glavine, how you would have stopped testing after the NLCS, wouldn't the important part to continue to test is to stop that spread if someone has it, not for it to go throughout an entire team?
Yes, to a certain extent, but again, you know, I just, again, it's my own personal feeling, but I just feel like, you know, at that stage of the game, what are you going to do? Start canceling games? You know, are you going to start calling guys up from the taxi squad to play in the World Series? You know, we worried all along with the testing and how it was going to go. And look, Major League Baseball did a phenomenal job. I know early on they were on the cusp of maybe calling the season because of what was going on with the Marlins and the Cardinals. But beyond that, Major League Baseball did a phenomenal job. The players did a phenomenal job. you know, all the teams and the staff buying in and doing what they needed to do. But we always worried about if there wasn't an outbreak and teams were playing games and having to pull people from their taxi squad, what was going to be, you know, how was that going to play out with the integrity of the game and this and that. And the other thing, well, if you're in the World Series and, you know, you get one or two guys that test positive, again, are you going to shut it down? Are you going to shut it down for a week? Or are you going to start bringing guys in off the taxi squad to play in the World Series games? You know, I mean, I think those are all equally important questions. But like I said, I just feel like for the most part, you know, when guys have gotten sick, most guys have been asymptomatic and not even known they've had it. You know, you've been around each other for this stage of the game for this long. Yeah, I think it's important to know if a guy has it and you can take precautions, you know, to maybe keep him from spreading it to other guys. But look, like I said, I just felt like at that stage of the game, you know, what's the point? Because we certainly wouldn't want to have a situation where you're playing, you know, having to postpone World Series games or having to have star players not playing for a few days and calling up guys from taxi squads. That's, again, my own personal feeling, probably not a popular one or maybe not a popular one, but that was just how I felt about it.
Tom, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
There's Tom Glavin joining us on the show. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. I thought the biggest takeaway from the interview probably going in was going to be his reaction to the bad decisions by the Tampa Bay Rays last night, their front office, and also Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell. But the stuff at the end of the conversation, that last 5 minutes on Justin Turner, really made me scratch my head, if we're just being honest. We'll talk about it when we come on back. Everyone's entitled to an opinion, but we'll delve into that when we return.
Nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
So I'm a little bit confused about what Tom Glavin just said with us. I'll be fully transparent with you. So I think there's two parts from that conversation. Number one, it's the Justin Turner side of it. Do you think he should have been on the field last night? Some people will say, I understand it with all the hard work that you put in. You just won a World Series. It's a once-in-a-lifetime potentially opportunity. You could be on the field. That's what some people will say. And if an athlete tells me that, I would not be terribly surprised by it. You saw many of the Dodgers teammates last night say after the game they didn't care that he was on the field, and that be that. I also wonder how many guys didn't say anything and were uncomfortable, and how many guys also did not know that Turner tested positive with two different tests. Because at first you think, all right, maybe it's a false positive, then you find out that it was two tests. So that's like one thing. Personally, I could have some sympathy for him and understand why he was on the field. Should he have been on the field, though? No, he should not have been on the field. And I know people will tell me, well, Zach, he already could have spread it regardless because he was playing in a game where he had it. Yeah, but he didn't spread it to, we don't know how many people he spread it to, if any at all. So what I'm saying is you could limit the spread there. So that's one part of the conversation. That's not the part I'm confused about. I understand 50% of the people will say he should be on the field. 50% of the people say that he shouldn't be on the field. The alarming part to me, Connor, from that interview, and the part that I can't wrap my head around, Tom Glavin said on our show that he thought, and he said this quietly during the playoffs, the people that he worked with, and then he told us on the air what he was thinking in the aftermath, since we just had him on a few moments ago. He said privately off the air to people that he works with that he thought MLB should have stopped testing right before the league championship series. Now, I don't get why you would stop testing. If you have the resources, if you have the tests, wouldn't you test so you could take the field? And clearly not always do you take the field knowing that someone and what their status is, because last night I think it surprised everyone that Justin Turner tested positive literally in the middle of a game. But if you have those resources and you're trying to get through this, wouldn't you want to get tested as frequently as possible? So if there is a situation where someone does test positive, you know, you could put them in isolation, and then maybe it's still already spread to a teammate or two, and you find out who that teammate or two is, but it prevents it from being a major outbreak where you're just blindly showing up with this virus, and many people don't even know they have the virus, and you keep on spreading it. So that's the part, Connor, and I don't know if you're the same way, that I just don't get why Glavin wanted the testing to stop, and it comes off to me as if he only wanted the testing to stop so they didn't have to face reality and pull someone from a game, especially when these games mean so much more later in the playoffs. I guess that's the line of thinking he's coming from, is that he didn't want to be faced with reality, and so what if someone gets it is basically what he's saying.
Yeah, I guess what he's trying to say is that you stop testing because if you go into the World Series and then all of a sudden you have one guy test positive or a bunch of guys, and say they're all asymptomatic or something like that, or maybe a situation like football where there's a false positive and somebody is deemed ineligible to play for that game, you know, he doesn't want, I'm guessing is what he's trying to say, is he doesn't want there to be a situation where they just say, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and play game three anyway.
And pull Justin Turner,
or say it was like Kershaw's turn to start and he had a false positive or something. They would go through with it because he feels like they're all in a bubble, and as long as somebody's not, like, outwardly sick,
they're still sick.
Right, they still have it. I mean, I'm just saying what maybe he's trying to convey.
Gotcha.
Is that maybe he's saying if they're not outwardly sick, maybe it's a false positive. And the solution can't be that we just play the game, like he said, with taxi squad players or guys who had no role in getting them to the World Series. They shouldn't be out there in, like, a big game three, game four, whatever the game is, situation.
So what it comes down to is either you want to know or you don't want to know. And a lot of times people don't know that they're sick, and they go and get tested, and it's, surprise, you have COVID-19. If I have it, I want to know that I have COVID-19 and not spread it to people. Because God forbid, and I don't know exactly who everyone had in the bubble, but God forbid Justin Turner, I don't know, had his grandmother or a grandfather, someone like that, or any player, because I don't know who's alive, who's not in everyone's family. You know, God forbid they come in contact with them after the game, they get it, and then because they're older, and some people that are older, they survive, but some people die. It's like, from a conscious standpoint, I wouldn't want that on my conscience for the rest of my life, that I didn't know just to win a championship, and I wasn't getting tested, and I had it, and then I spread it to X, Y, and Z. Like, they have the resources. Now, if you want to get into a conversation, what happens in a World Series game if someone tests positive and yank them off the field, and you want to delay the game and then wait a while to start it back up, all right, that's a different conversation. But I really do think that it's important to know when you're going on with these sports who has it and who doesn't. And that's just the way that I feel in this situation. Now, the other part that I'll bring up is I really wonder, and MLB dodged a bullet here, I really wonder what Major League Baseball was going to do if there was a Game 7 tonight. Now, if it was just Turner who tested positive, even though there's an incubation period, I would imagine that they would have continued that game, one game, get it over with. I think the MLB would have run the risk, just like what the NFL did with that Patriots-Chiefs game, where maybe they delay it by a game, and they did delay that Kansas City-Chiefs game to Monday night, I think it was, and it's supposed to be played on Sunday. I think that was the case. Yeah, I think it got delayed till Monday. And then afterwards, the Patriots did have a few more players test positive, one of them being Stephon Gilmore. So that's kind of where I feel on that side of the thing, is I don't know what Major League Baseball was going to do. You know, Connor, what do you think? With the Turner situation, he would not have been, if they played that game tonight, I would probably say, if no one else tested positive, they did all the rapid tests, all that stuff, I would imagine that Turner just would not be able to play in a Game 7. I guess that's the point that Glavin's bringing up. Like, it stinks that that happens, and that's why he wouldn't want to know, but I think you should know. I guess Turner would not have played, and they just would have continued with the game tonight, right? That's what you probably think.
And that's the best-case scenario, because the worst-case scenario would be they retest everybody earlier today after Justin Turner comes out positive.
Mm-hmm.
They retest everybody, and all of a sudden you have a bunch of guys like that are asymptomatic,
yeah,
that test positive on the Dodgers.
Imagine you have a two-week layoff and then a Game 7?
Right, and I don't know how far back you can push it, because I don't know how their schedule works out with TV mm-hmm. contracts and things like that. So, like, I don't know if they would have been forced to go through with a Game 7, even though guys weren't eligible to play. So, really, the MLB, once the Turner news came out,
mm-hmm.
really dodged a bullet when the Dodgers just won the game, because they didn't have to deal with any of this stuff.
Manfred basically answered one question about it and then said, adios, I'm gone, bye-bye, season over.
That's why he was so out of it yesterday, because he was so relieved that he had nothing else to think about. Yeah. He was like, oh, thank God.
It wasn't because everyone was booing. It was just because he's like, all right, let me run out of here as quick as possible, and thank God there's not 45,000 fans in the stands. Just to provide a little levity to this conversation, did you see this theory? And this is the ultimate fan theory. Since they found out about the first test from what would have been Tuesday, and then, it was the first test would have been from Monday. That's what it would have been. And then that second test was the test day of from Tuesday, because today's Wednesday. Duh, Zach. Did you see the theory that Major League Baseball called in? And obviously this is a joke, but this is a fan theory. Major League Baseball told Kevin Cash, yeah, we need you guys to lose because we have a positive test on one of the teams. We're not going to tell you who it is, so we need you to pull Blake Snell to give the Dodgers an opportunity to get back.
That is hilarious. I never thought of it that way, but, I mean, it's totally not what happened, but it is funny what these conspiracy guys do come up with.
You always love a conspiracy theory. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to ACK.
Live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
We got audio for you coming up at the top of the hour. You'll hear from Mookie Betts, Dave Roberts. You'll also hear from the losing side of last night's World Series clinching game number 6, Kevin Cash, and a few of the Rays players, as well as we talk about Justin Turner celebrating on the field after the game last night, even though he got a positive COVID test back during the game. And we'll get all the reaction on the aftermath of the Dodgers' first World Series since 1988, and clearly get into that boneheaded decision by the Tampa Bay Rays to pull Blake Snell when he was dealing. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, as always, 855-212-4227. 7 on the Zach Gelb Show is sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Austin on Long Island, he's next up on CBS Sports Radio. Austin, what's happening?
Hey, Zach, how's it going?
Doing great. What you got for me, brother?
So, I was just blown away by that Tom Glavine comment that you said, talked about earlier, with the no testing here. This MLB situation is such a debacle. It shows terribly on the organization. And personally, I'm in the COVID testing business. That's honestly the only reason I called, you know. But this has just been such an atrocious thing. And I think that it's such a screw up on the MLB's part, especially considering that they got a you know, inconclusive test on Monday, they said. Why did this game even play? Why did they let this happen?
Well, here's my understanding of it. And I've heard two different stories, Austin, and I'm a little bit curious on what you mean by when you're involved in the COVID testing world, so you could explain that in just a second. But my understanding of this was that the test from Tuesday, and maybe you know a little bit better than me, the test from Monday came back on Tuesday in the second inning. And that one report said inconclusive. One report said that was a positive. So he didn't get pulled until the 8th. So you wonder what the timeline is there from 2 to 8. Maybe I would assume that it was inconclusive. Or if it is positive, then it's just a mess up on the MLB. But then the way that I understood it is, then they expedited the test that was taken, I guess, the day of, which would have been yesterday on Tuesday. And then that one came back positive, and that's what forced them to pull him off the field.
Yeah. I heard differently. I heard that, you know, I was going based off that inconclusive result there. But my question is this, you know, how do they not have a negative test going into the game? How does that result come back during the game?
Well, when you say that you're involved in COVID testing, how quickly do these tests get turned around when you have a big client like Major League Baseball?
I mean, they get it done in, you know, 24 hours minimum.
Mm-hmm. So this
game starts at 4, you know, why do they not have a result at exactly 4 o'clock? How do they not test on Monday at 4, get the result in by Tuesday at 4? And if they don't have that conclusive result, how do they let the game go on? Because this is the situation you're dealing with. I mean, the Dodgers manager is the cancer survivor. That's someone who's greatly at risk. And now you got Justin Turner kissing the trophy.
You bring up a great point, Austin, and I appreciate the insight and the phone call. I'm going to be honest with you. All the testing protocols, and Connor, we hit on this earlier, right? I was stunned last night when you found out, and trust me, I'm not at a point anymore when someone tests positive for COVID where I go, oh my goodness gracious, shut everything down. I can't believe that this is happening. But I'm at a point where last night, where you just expect positive tests to occur, and baseball got in a good stretch here. It looked like they were going to finish. And when Turner leaves the game last night, I thought he pulled a hammy, had a tweak in the shoulder, you know, something along those lines. I was never thinking COVID because you had an off day. You played game 5 on Sunday. Then on game 5, which was on Tuesday, there was an off day in between. You would have thought, for example, you wake up in the NFL on Sunday and you get that tweet from Rappaport Schefter. Here's who tested positive. Here's who tested negative. It's an all clear, all go. This one was put on the COVID list. They're still going to play. Rapid testing showed that no one else has it. So I was under the impression that, especially with that off day, that everyone was taking the field and they were negative.
I think what may have happened is when they got the inconclusive test on Monday, I think they might have gotten inconclusive tests in the past for whatever reason. Maybe there's a clerical error. And I think a lot of them, if not all of them, came back negative after the fact. So I'm guessing they all just assumed because it was inconclusive, well, most of these inconclusives just wind up being negatives. And I think they were probably stunned on Tuesday when it actually came back positive. And that's why they didn't even get the test before the game. They probably just assumed, okay, most of these inconclusives come back as negatives because inconclusive can be for a variety of reasons. So we'll just let them play. 95% chance it's a negative anyway. And then it came back positive, which was a disaster for them because then they had to go reach out to Dave Roberts and the Dodgers and say, we got to pull this guy off the field right now.
So here's where I'm confused. This was the tweet from Passan last night. And maybe I'm missing something here. So let's talk this out. Passan last night, and this was at 12, this was right at midnight. He tweeted out, in the second inning tonight, the lab doing COVID test informed MLB that Justin Turner's test from yesterday came back inconclusive. So he got tested on what would have been Monday, and they didn't get that result back until the second inning is what Passan's saying, right?
It sounds that way, but I thought...
So there was the inconclusive test, they didn't know that on Monday, right?
I thought I read that he got the inconclusive test on Monday and then got retested on Tuesday because it was inconclusive on Monday.
So this is the whole tweet. I'm just going to go through this. In the second inning tonight, the lab doing COVID test informed MLB that Justin Turner's test from yesterday came back inconclusive. The samples from today had just arrived and were run. It showed up positive. The league immediately called the Dodgers and said to pull Turner from the game. So if, let's just say they knew on Monday it was inconclusive, you can't put him on the field.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they only got the result in the second inning of that game from Monday.
Yes,
and then they
that's
informed,
the way that I interpreted it.
Right, so then they informed that it was inconclusive.
And then they said, let's speed up. You just got those tests from today. Rapid test it as quick as you can. We're paying you a fortune to get this done.
Right. I mean, maybe they had said earlier on to them, maybe they take these tests every day, but then go based on like a 2-day delay, which obviously makes the test a little bit faulty, but maybe they're only going on like, okay, we'll play on Monday if your test from Saturday is a negative, and then we'll play on Tuesday if your test from Sunday. So maybe they're on a delay because it takes a while to get all the tests in and out of the system.
And then the other thing that I did see was I was watching this live. Rosenthal goes on Fox, and he said that the first test came back before the game in the afternoon, and he was the first one to say it was two positives. And then the second one came back during the game, and then he later clarified that it came back during the second inning. So I really think, and maybe I'm dead wrong on this, but this is just the way that I've read it and the way that I've interpreted it, is that test from Monday didn't get back until Tuesday, last night in the second inning. And then they said, let's speed up that test that you swabbed on Tuesday. And then they got it back in, what, the seventh inning, and then they pulled him by the eighth inning. Because Rosenthal's tweet was one correction to what I said on FS1 about Turner's timeline. First result on the test from yesterday came back in the second inning. So there you go. That's now two people saying it, not in the afternoon. His test from earlier today was an expedited, and when it came back positive, he was removed from the game.
And in defense,
so I could see where it's confusing, where, oh, the test from Monday, that's when it was physically swabbed. You know, I get it's different. I've gone for two, three COVID tests for now just to be safe. They're free. I just want to know. And, you know, for a regular person like me, the first time it happened, I got tested on, let's just say, a Monday and didn't get the results back until Friday. But the second time I did go, if let's say I got tested again on a Monday, I got it back within 2 to 3 days. Now, this is different. It's the MLB. You would think, though, if you took a test sometime on Monday, you would have got that result back by Tuesday. And if that was inconclusive, you shouldn't put him on the field. If it was positive, you definitely shouldn't put him on the field. But then that second test confirmed that this wasn't a false positive. Because remember the Saints situation? They thought they had a player test positive, and then it was a false positive. So that's wild last night. But it never even crossed my mind that Justin Turner tested positive when he got pulled from the game, because I was under the assumption, especially with an off day, that they would have known that everyone tested negative. And then the scene afterwards, I get the human emotions of it. I get the human side of it. You put in all this work. You want to be celebrating. You feel fine. To then have him on the field is just a bad look. It really is a bad look. Now, you could blame Manfred. You could blame ownership with the Dodgers. You could blame the executives. You could blame Roberts. Justin Turner made a decision last night. He was told, don't go on the field. Should he have been prevented from going on the field? Absolutely. But he made that decision, so that's on him. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. News brief next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!